From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the second day of November 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzaloy, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And as we close out our program, Jim Angel of the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, will be on hand to take a look at the weather in the month of October and what we can expect for the coming week right here in our part of the world. Along the way today, we'll hear agricultural news from Dave Dickey, including these stories. Informa has released an update of the estimate of this year's crop. Demand for new aircraft is leading the economy forward, and CF is planning to extensively expand its ability to produce nitrogen. And I'll tell you all about the Ag Masters program that kicks off the winter meeting season this month on the 26th of November. And then, of course, the Corn and Soybean Classic series of meetings that we always make our way around the state with in the month of January. And it all happens right here on the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, production of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Well, in Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly lower. The hard red winter wheat, the soft red in Chicago, at $8.64.5 was down 4 cents. These are settlement prices. May futures there at $8.85.5, down 4.75 in the July contract. That's the harvest month at $8.75, down 2.25 on its settlement. Now the hard red, that trading, of course, in Kansas City, it finished a penny and 3/4 higher at $9.20.5. That's a close and not a settlement for the hard red. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, and these are closing prices. December futures, $7.38.75, down 12.25. The March at $7.41.75, 11.75 lower than the May corn. $7.39.75 on its close, down 9.75. July at $7.30.75, 9.25 lower. And December at $6.36, down 3.5 cents. A reminder that a close rather than a settlement means that number may yet change before they open again on Sunday evening. November beans, these are settlement prices. $15.27, down 31.5. January at $15.26.75, down 33.25. And the March soybeans at $15.03.75, down 29.75. Settlement price there. May futures, $14.71.25, down 21.75. July at $14.54, down 20. And November beans, $13.36.5, down 12.75 in Chicago. Bean meal futures at $4.75.90, down $8.40. And the bean oil on the afternoon, $49.26, down $1.17. Live cattle futures for the day finished the February at $129.17.5. That's a nickel lower. The January feeders at $146.67.5 were up 32.5 cents. Settlement price there. And February lean hogs at $83.90, down 25 cents for the afternoon. The outside markets trading December crude oil at $84.73, down $2.36. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $257.5. That's a 5.9 cents lower. And the ethanol at $2.34 is down a nickel and a half for the day. Natural gas at $3.54.5, down 15.4 cents. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.95, 8.2 cents of a cent lower for the afternoon. Gold futures in the December contract settled $1,675.20 an ounce, down $40.30. The U.S. dollar at 89, or rather at 80.59. That's up 0.54 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area yet this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 51 degrees on a north wind. That'll come at about 7 miles per hour. And then this evening, mostly cloudy, a low of 36. East-northeast winds at about 5 miles an hour. Sunday, or rather Saturday, mostly cloudy and a high of just 49 degrees. Tomorrow, we'll have an east wind at 7 miles an hour again. Saturday night, partly cloudy and a low of 32. Sunday, partly sunny and 50 degrees on north wind at 6 miles an hour. Sunday night, mostly cloudy and 32. Monday, sunny skies, 49 degrees. Monday night, partly cloudy and 33. And on Tuesday, mostly sunny, a high near 51 degrees. By the time we get to Tuesday evening, a cool low of 37 and partly cloudy. And Wednesday, sunny skies next week and a high near 53. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This is the closing market report. It is the second day of November, a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us, Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello there, Todd.
Well, some interesting things this week. I want to come back to Sandy for just a moment because the place it really seems to be having an impact in the marketplace looks to me like it could be with gasoline supplies. And I suppose that's because there's just not that much usage happening as people can't quite get the gasoline out of the tanks on the East Coast at this point.
Yeah, and I think a big thing today in particular was that we did see the Homeland Security waive the Jones Act, and that allows foreign vessels to move product like gasoline and diesel from the Gulf of Mexico up to the northeastern ports, and that's effective immediately through November 13th. And I think that was a big, big feature to why the bean oil was hit so hard this trading session, along with the jobs report and some of the commodity funds pulling the plug on some of their longs. So I think you have something very, very important to look into this weekend if you're an analyst because of what this Jones Act is probably doing to the markets right now. And what I mean is more like the arbitrage and how to handle the ethanol and the heating oil, diesel, bean oil relationship amongst traders because of this major change because of Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, so let me walk me through this because I'm guessing that bean oil took a hit because it's not going to be splashed in as biodiesel. Is that
exactly
right? Because it's out of place.
So
the arbitrage
it's in the
would
wrong
have to
location now. Yep.
Yeah. So the arbitrage would have to be how much does it cost to ship it somewhere else to get it splashed in, and does it actually have to be put into the mix?
Exactly right, and I think the same would be said for ethanol as well because you're going to do most of that in the interior that goes down to the Gulf from what I understand, and very, you know, there is some that goes to the northeast, but ethanol infrastructure to the northeast has been, you know, wanting to be built for 5-7 years, and it still is a little bit slow to come on. So I think it is an arbitrage displacement issue with tanker cars and whatnot that, okay, maybe we won't need this now because we're not going to be blending this. It's something to look at from a standpoint of what I do because of the fact that the energy-related commodities like ethanol and like the heating oil were hit extra hard on a percentage basis.
All right. One other note that I made as I was reading those numbers, gold down $40 for the day. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, this is where I think you probably are back on this track, and we've seen this a couple, three times in the last month or so, where when you get a good housing number like we got this week, the trade is sitting back waiting for a good unemployment number and a good jobs number. Those two features are, the Fed has made very, very clear, those two features are what's going to turn the real economy around. So we got two good reports this week out of those two features and economic fundamentals, and I think, simply put, it pulled the quantitative easing bulls and some of their money off to the sidelines, especially heading into the election and heading into the Chinese transition of power. But that, I think, is why silver was leading the declines in the metals markets, gold right behind it, copper right behind that. And you also saw the best trade in the dollar since early September, and you're going to close well above 80.55, which is kind of a go-no-go gauge for buy-sell line when it comes to the flat price of the dollar index. So I think this is quantitative easing money being pulled out of the market because the idea being at this point, if the economy is really coming around on its own, the Fed doesn't have to do any more to prime the pump.
Let's turn our attention directly to the marketplace for corn, soybeans, wheat. Informa released some numbers today that ahead of next week's WASDE and crop production figures due out a week from today.
Yes, and pretty much in line with what FC Stone put out, a slightly bigger yield on the corn and a half a bushel or so, 0.6 bushel bigger yield on the beans. The trade, and you can tell this in the spreads were very, very weak at the end of this week. Halloween day was a great day for the bull spreads. The rest of the week just didn't see a very good trade for the bull spreads, and I guess that's probably because FC Stone came out yesterday and Informa today, and so the trade is pricing in now the idea that we're going to have bigger supplies a week from today, and I think they're mainly doing that through the spread trade. And that puzzles me because the bean spread in particular, given the weekly export sales being so good again today and the weekly export inspections being so good this week and the promise of rain in Brazil, which theoretically would weaken the May and the July futures, between the strong front-end demand and the weather coming around in Brazil, it kind of puzzles me that the bear spreaders have the rule of the roost of this week. And so that's something I'm going to be watching very closely next week, that January-July bean spread. To bull spread, that may be a good spec feature. I'm going to keep an eye on that.
On the weekly charts, corn futures don't look particularly good. While they finished higher, the chart doesn't look all that great at the moment.
No, it doesn't. This is the neatest thing about the charts, and we talked about this last Friday. If you really want to get bullish about corn, you just wait to buy strength. The market is in a situation with the investment funds and all this outside market and political issues going on that I think you just don't want to buy weakness. You just want to buy strength only. What I mean by that is every single one of the corn, bean, and wheat chart on the daily continuation went up to their 40-day moving averages this week, tested it, and failed. And so I think it's a wonderful barometer. A week from today, are we back above those 40-day moving averages on the daily charts? And if we are, I think that's a buy then, technically speaking.
Most of the bin doors are closed, and many people think that the movement now will have to be, or at least the heavy lifting, will have to be done by basis or how close the nearby cash and spot bids are to the actual futures markets or over the futures markets, depending on where you are. Overs in most places.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think you have to play it that way right now until you know the numbers from next Friday, because if you lock in your basis right now and the futures continues to slide, you have no back door. And we did see a real improvement in the global wheat trade this week. We did not see the Black Sea tender on the Egyptian purchase, and that was a real big note that I made in the middle of the week. So I think the wheat market is really going to support the corn. We talked about that on Commodity Week a week or so ago, and I think that's where you don't want to get too wild and crazy here before the report. Keep your basis open in case that futures goes down, because more than likely, I think you're right, with the market going down here before the report, with the cash flow needs not really there for producers, producers just aren't going to get in the bin and start hauling, stuff out of the bins into the trucks at this point. They're just going to starve the pipeline. So use that basis as a safety relief valve in case the futures and the investment funds want to continue to liquidate.
I suppose that goes back to the note you had and that Daryl Good made on Monday of this week, and we'll hear just a bit later in the program, that while corn has been settling out and on a lower turn, the wheat that has been substituted for it and the corn coming in from Argentina won't last all that long.
No, and I think this is where you really are at a situation with Argentina now being 20% behind on their corn planting versus a year ago at 38%. I think you're really at that edge and at the ledge of seeing corn acres go to bean acres, and I think that can do nothing but help us because, like we talked about on the Commodity Week with your cash grain gurus, that's where maybe the Argentine shortfall starts to come back in, that they don't want to ship as much corn on the export market, and then that all of a sudden frees us up for Asia, and there's a lack of feed wheat to boot. And so all of a sudden, this dismal, ugly corn export market turns into a really nice situation as we get into the first quarter of 13.
What do you see of interest out of the livestock market?
I am puzzled by the livestock because going back to Hurricane Sandy, I really feel like that the livestock supplies are big enough and that this hurricane is damaging enough that you're going to see a real backup of consumption. And in a 30-day window where seasonally this is not good for red meat, you've got hams and coming up at Christmas, and you've got the roast coming up after that. But between now and Christmas, it's pretty much all turkeys at this point. I would think that retailers would want to be making a lot of space for their poultry side. And so I think this Hurricane Sandy thing has not played out in the futures market yet in terms of pricing in enough bearishness.
Mike, thanks so much.
Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzalo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, private analytical firm Informa Economics today says that it expects USDA to raise its forecast for this year's U.S. corn and soybean crops. Informa forecast a national corn yield of 122.4 bushels to an acre and total production of 10.738 billion bushels. Informa says it expects USDA to forecast national soybean production of 2.925 billion bushels with a yield of 38.6 bushels to the acre. Informa's corn yield estimate was lower than forecasts issued by some other private firms this week. On Thursday, brokerage F.C. Stone predicted an average corn yield of 124 bushels to the acre. F.C. Stone raised its forecast for soybeans to 39.1 bushels to an acre from its forecast last month of 38.2 bushels to an acre. USDA will update its output forecasts on November the 9th. The Commerce Department today says that U.S. factory orders advanced at the fastest pace in a year, and orders for manufactured goods increased 4.8% to $475.39 billion in September. The gain, the largest since March of 2011, was driven primarily by aircraft demand. Excluding transportation, factory orders rose 1.4% during the month. Deerfield, Illinois-based CF Industries Incorporated plans to spend $3.8 billion to expand its nitrogen fertilizer capacity. The nitrogen fertilizer producers said its board has approved two expansion projects, one at its facility in Louisiana and one in Iowa. The facilities are expected to come online in the second half of 2015 and 2016. Each project will create about 100 direct jobs and 700 jobs indirectly. And the Labor Department today says that U.S. employers added 171,000 jobs in October. The unemployment rate, though, inched up to 7.9% from 7.8% in September because the workforce grew. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program will record at about 4:30 Central Time this afternoon. Our panelists in studio today include Matt Bennett and Chip Nellinger. Dan Zwicker will be on the phone line. Commodity Week should be a great program. Stay with us online at willag.org for that program. We'll post it about 6 o'clock Central Time this evening, or you can hear it on many of these radio stations tomorrow morning. Now, up next, you know there is so little corn from this year's U.S. harvest that it must be priced out of the reach of some end users. This, of course, ensures the crop will last the whole year, and while part of that job has already been done, University of Illinois Ag economist Darrell Good says price still needs to stay pretty high. Over the next year, USDA believes the nation will consume about 1.4 billion bushels less corn than it did last year. This has to happen because there simply isn't as much corn to go around. The drought had a big impact on the 2012 harvest. Here's how those consumption numbers shake out by category. USDA forecasts corn exports will decline by 25.5% from last year. Corn used to produce ethanol will be down 10%. Other processing uses should be down 5% and feed usage off by 9%. University of Illinois Ag economist Darrell Good says the numbers in at least one of those categories are far greater than the USDA estimate so far.
To date, the pace of corn exports has been much slower than needed to reach the USDA projection. Based on the weekly export sales report, exports during the first 7 weeks of the marketing year averaged 19.1 million bushels. To reach the USDA projection, weekly exports for the remainder of the year need to average 22.6 million bushels. As of October 18th, 292 million bushels had been sold for export but not yet shipped. those outstanding sales are 52% less than outstanding sales of a year earlier. There may be some opportunity for exports to accelerate as the year progresses, as competition from wheat and South American corn moderates.
Neither of those two sources represents a particularly large substitution target. So while the beginning of the marketing year has seen a very slow export pace for corn, Good isn't sure that pace will remain so slow. Ethanol production is off from a year ago, too, but Good says there's a caveat in that comparison that makes it better to gauge corn for ethanol consumption via the USDA projection.
Last year, ethanol production accelerated in November and December in anticipation of the expiration of the blender's tax credit. The current weekly pace is sufficient for corn consumption for ethanol and byproducts to reach the projection of 4.5 billion bushels for the year.
So there we have two of the three primary consumption categories. Exports, thanks Darryl Good, should pick up, and corn used to produce ethanol should be on target. It leaves the livestock sector and feed usage. He'll have a better handle on that number, he says, once the first quarter stocks figures are released in December. Still, livestock inventory numbers can be used to tell part of the story.
In the case of cattle, feedlot inventories are declining, down 3% on October 1, and are expected to continue to decline as a result of smaller supply of feeder cattle. The number of cattle slaughtered in September was 12% smaller than the slaughter in September 2011, although average weights were up about 3%. The inventory of market hogs on September 1 was about equal that of a year ago. Sow farrowings were down about 3% in the fall quarter, but intentions for the winter quarter were off only 1%. Slaughter numbers in September were down about 2%. The number of dairy cattle is declining, with the inventory on September 1 about equal that of a year ago. Numbers are expected to decline below last year's inventory as the year progresses.
So the dairy and the beef cattle numbers are down, and the hog numbers are about steady. That leaves poultry. Placements there are ahead of last year's pace, but slaughter is down sharply. Taken together, Good says it suggests feed and residual consumption of corn has slowed. When you add all the usage categories up, he thinks the pace has slowed in general, but not enough to fully ration the available supply of corn. He cautions that statement in no way suggests a higher price of corn is needed, rather that the current high price simply needs to stay in place a bit longer to get the job done. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org and listen to our program called Commodity Week. We'll record that at 4:30 this evening. Chip Nellinger, Dan Zwicker, and Matt Bennett, all our guests for Commodity Week, posted about 6 o'clock on our website, Central Time at willag.org. Back in just 2 minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey and the Prairie Research Institute.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
It's National Candy Corn Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1815, Andrew Jackson Downing was born. An American horticulturalist, he was the author of The Fruits and Fruit Trees of America. In 1894, the first U.S. patent for a time clock was issued to Daniel Cooper of Rochester, New York. In 1931, the DuPont Company unveiled Duprene, the first synthetic rubber. Later named neoprene, it was the first synthetic rubber that resisted oil and gasoline. In 1944, Thomas Migley Jr. died. An American engineer and chemist, he discovered the anti-knock additive for gasoline, as well as a cleaning agent called Freon, which eventually replaced toxic gases previously used in
home refrigeration. And in 1950, concentrated milk was first test marketed in the U.S. The Seal Test brand, produced by the Clover Dairy Company, was made by removing water at relatively low temperatures and pressures, producing a milk that, when water was re-added, tastes just like fresh whole milk. Removing the water concentrates the milk to one-third of its original volume, yielding a heavy cream-looking milk that improved shelf life, reduced storage space, and lowered transportation costs. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
On this Friday afternoon, let's check the weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey. He serves as the state climatologist right there in the Prairie Research Institute. Thanks so much, Jim, for being on the phone line. Before we get to the weather forecast for the weekend and the week ahead, can you take a look back at the month of October and how it rounded out?
Yes. If we look at October in general, it was cooler and wetter than normal across Illinois. In fact, the precipitation-wise, we were 3.9 inches, which is about 7/10 of an inch above normal. And probably we were here in central Illinois, we're in the wettest part of the state. There's a band of very heavy rainfall from about Quincy to Champaign, where the rainfall totals were on the order of 4 to 7 inches. It's a little drier in far southern Illinois and far northern Illinois. Those areas got less than 3 inches, but most of the state saw at least some rainfall as we went through October. The other thing is it was very cool this month. We were almost 2 inches below normal on temperatures. And, you know, I think pretty much everybody saw a little frost on the pumpkin at some point in October there. So that's kind of the signal of the end of the growing season. So that's kind of where we stand on October. So overall, very cool and very wet condition.
It's all up. It's all over now for the growing season.
What can
we see? What can we see in the weekend and the week ahead?
Yeah, you know, if you look at the forecast for this weekend and next week, it's actually it's kind of the same story almost every day. Highs of around 50 degrees and low in the low to mid 30s almost every day, and mostly sunny skies in all those days. So earlier, there was a slight chance of rain on Saturday, but they've taken that back out of the forecast. So very mild conditions, a little cool for this time of year, but very mild, very nice. I was outside at lunchtime, and, you know, 50 degrees and sunshine felt pretty good.
Absolutely. Can you tell me just a bit about how well we've done in mitigating drought across the state, if there are regions that are still in need, and how much we might need over the winter in order to get ourselves refreshed for the coming growing season?
That's right. There are a couple areas that are in pretty good shape right now. I would rate the Champaign area as one of the better areas. We actually have largely erased the deficits that we accumulated earlier this year. The same thing for some areas east of St. Louis. Probably most concerned in far southern Illinois and the western part of the state over by Peoria, and also the northern part of the state, especially that northwest corner. They have not gotten the rains that some of the other areas have seen. So they're still farther behind in terms of the rainfall deficits and also things like soil moisture and stream flows and lake levels. So I think we're going to see some areas that we're going to have to watch pretty closely as we move through the rest of the fall and winter months here. But I'm reasonably confident that we'll be okay on terms of soil moisture. I'm not so sure about the stream flows and groundwater levels. Those take a little longer to recover, so we'll see how that plays out.
Thanks so much, Jim.
You're welcome.
That wraps up the Closing Market Report with Jim Angel. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Subaru of Champaign County, featuring the Subaru Impreza, with standard all-wheel drive and an EPA highway rating of 36 mpg, depending on conditions. More information is available at SubaruofChampaign.com or at their location on Route 45 in Savoy.